when I saw the note that today's saint, Saint Rosa Lima, is the secondary patroness of the Philippines, it brought back to my mind the controversy about who's the primary patroness of the Philippines. Of course, it's Our Lady, but there's a bit of a dispute about whether it's the Immaculate Conception or Our Lady of Guadalupe. Are you familiar with that? It's almost funny, but apparently there are papal documents of some kind that attest to both of these, the Immaculate Conception and Our Lady of Guadalupe, same woman. So it's not a very big conflict. Now, St. Rosa Lima, I don't know why she's the secondary patroness of the Philippines. I really can't remember. I know a lot of people named Rose, and there's some devotion to St. Rose in some places. You go to Santa Rosa, for example, and just not far from here, Santa Rosa Laguna. But St. Rose of Lima, who caught the fire of the faith in the early stages of Christianity in the New World, she's in Peru, in Lima, Peru. She was one of the first, well, she's the first canonized saint of the Americas. So she's an example of what's possible when people have faith. She's also quite a striking figure because of her extreme mortification. She had an understanding that the way to heaven is through suffering. And that's true for all of us, and that's, we have to accept our share in the cross. But she took on the cross. She really deliberately took on sufferings to a degree that made people wonder whether she was out of her mind or something. But she recognized, maybe she did have some imbalances as she grew in the spiritual life, but she recognized what's really important and what's not important, and that's why she's a saint. Today's readings, I think, teach us something about this need for balance, this need for recognizing what's important. It's rather striking that the first reading addresses big issues, the second coming, end of the world, and what to do. And then the gospel addresses, you could say, the other extreme. The scribes and the Pharisees are concerned about the most insignificant things. Mint and dill and cumin, little herbs, little garden plants, and they're paying attention to paying their tithes on these little almost worthless plants, and they're cleaning the outside of the cup and the dish, but they're not paying any attention to what's inside, plunder and self-indulgence. They're not attending to the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. So in the first reading, we're talking about some very heavy topics, and the gospel, we're talking about some insignificant matters. But in both cases, the danger is that we'll be thrown off, either upset by the calamities, the end of the world, or distracted by what is really of very little significance. And you can see both of these things are possible distractions for us, even at the same time. We live in a world that's all caught up in turmoil about big matters, you know, World War III, and also caught up in the most insignificant details about celebrities and whatever, Korean bands and, you know, who's going with who, as if these things are what's important. The image that came to mind is that movie, Fiddler on the Roof. You might know that movie. I remember when I first saw it, Fiddler on the Roof, I wondered, you know, what is this going to be about, someone playing a fiddle? And it's not that. The Fiddler on the Roof is an image for keeping one's balance in the journey of life. And the main character, Tevye, says, we're all like this. We're all playing our tune, trying to play our tune without falling off the roof. So we're in a precarious situation. We have to play our fiddle, but without falling off and breaking our neck. So this balance, on one side is we could lose our peace because of World War III, On the other side, we could get caught up in Facebook messages all day long, and in either way, we lose our balance. How do we keep our balance? Well, St. Paul, in his second letter to the Thessalonians, says, be sure to hold fast to the traditions that you were taught, either by an oral statement or by a letter of ours. This verse has been used to teach the way that the Word of God comes to us, both through oral tradition and through writing, through the scriptures. This is how divine revelation is passed on to us, through scripture and tradition, sacred tradition and sacred scripture. And it's this deposit of the faith, it's this sure revelation that helps us, or makes it possible for us, to keep our balance. Let's start with this, the weightier matters, the second coming, the end of the world. St. Paul says, don't get all bent out of shape, don't get shaken out of your minds when you hear about the end of the world. Don't be so alarmed that you lose your perspective. Yes, the world will come to an end. Yes, Jesus will come again. But that's certain truths of our faith. But we don't know when, and we don't know how, and it doesn't mean that every rumor of a war means it's the end of the world. In fact, we don't even know if it's a war. So in the international stage, the preoccupation is the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Here in Asia, that seems to be fading from people's consciousness because of the tension between China and Taiwan and the dispute over the Philippine Sea or the South China Sea. And you know, the local tensions are what preoccupy people when it comes to the questions of war. But whether it's war in Asia or war in Europe or war in Africa or war anywhere, when we experience these upheavals in the social order, it's very disturbing. And the consequences nowadays are worldwide. You know, inflation, shortages. There's all sorts of consequences from the war in Ukraine that are being felt very, very far from Ukraine, especially the price of oil. But here, I'm sure if you follow the news at all, you know the news about sugar and about white onions and these things. Well, these are disturbing matters, but they're not the end of the world. I mean, the price of sugar is not the end of the world. So what does Paul say? Don't be shaken out of your minds. Don't be so alarmed. Don't lose your confidence in God simply because things are being shaken up. Hold fast. Hold fast to the truth. The truth is, God has called us through the gospel to possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday's feast day reminded us of this. It was the queenship of Mary. Mary reigning in glory was not only an honor to her, it's a sign to us of God's plan for all of his children. He wants us to reign in glory. He wants us to persevere. He doesn't want us to lose our way. So that's one side. Don't be so alarmed that you lose your confidence in God. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to hold fast to scripture and tradition. Sometimes there are private revelations or messages that come through different sources that are quite alarming. Sometimes they're authentic, sometimes they're not. But even the authentic ones are never meant to shake us so much that we lose our peace. They're meant to strengthen us in the way of faith, devotion, prayer, sacrifice, service, solid truths of our faith. Don't get shaken. Now, on the other extreme, let's go to the gospel. The scribes and the Pharisees, not only were they caught up in insignificant things, as many of us are much of the time. Say we get caught up in whatever, the appearance of our house or our hairstyle or whatever thing might be very important to us in the moment. What's worse in the case of the scribes and Pharisees is that they think these insignificant things are what prove their holiness. That's worse. It's one thing to say, I got caught up in Facebook. Yeah, that's a big distraction for a lot of people. But most people don't think that their time on Facebook proves their holiness. They realize, oh, it's a distraction. But the scribes and Pharisees thought that they're paying tithes on the herbs, their cleansing of the outside of cup and dish. In other words, their appearance, their robes, their behavior in the temple, their recitation of the laws. They thought that's what proved their holiness. And Jesus says, no, that's hypocrisy. That's blatant hypocrisy. Woe to you, you hypocrites. You're taking care of insignificant things and making a claim to glorify yourself on things that are not even that important. What's important? Cleanse the inside of the cup. Get rid of sin. Get rid of plunder, self-indulgence. Get rid of this pride and this judgment, this jealousy, greed. Get rid of this. Cleanse it. Fill it with justice and with mercy and fidelity. Now, it's a little alarming that the scribes and Pharisees have lost their way, because they do know the law. They know the sacred tradition. And they still lost their way. It's not enough simply to know the law. It has to be put into practice every day, even in what seems like insignificant ways, small sacrifices, little prayers, little acts of patience with people you can't get along with, or little gestures of kindness to people who don't deserve it. These are not as insignificant as they look. So what gives us the balance is the truth that's handed on to us in scripture and tradition. Back to Fiddler on the Roof, remember how, if you know that movie, Tevye and the Jews in the movie, how they maintain their balance? Tradition. Tradition is the whole thing for them. Tradition. That's how they, even if they don't understand the tradition, following is what preserves their identity and keeps their balance. Well, we have much more, because we have the fullness of the faith. And it's a very, very rich tradition. So whatever part of the tradition helps you keep your balance, grab onto it. If you have devotion to Saint Rose of Lima, great. She has a lot to teach us. The rosary, the devotions, especially the liturgy. The liturgy is a solid foundation to help us keep our balance. Communal prayer, adoration. There's all sorts of, all the saints, all sorts of things to help us. We're not alone in facing the turmoil of the world or the distractions of the world. We're all in this journey together. So let us make good use of what has been entrusted to us. Help us to keep our balance and help others keep their balance. We help each other in this journey of faith. And this is how we can face the trials of life without despair or loss of peace. In fact, if we take the spirit of St. Rose, we can see the trials of life and the upheavals of society as elements that help us get to heaven. Suffering is the way to glory. So let's not strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Let's not focus on insignificant things and lose what's important. Let's cling to the truth as it's entrusted to us.